Hi, hello, namaste to all my listeners. I'm your host, Sarthak Varshney, and I welcome you all to the Balls of Steel show, where you get an insight into the business mindset of the entrepreneurs. Dhandoni Soch.
So, hi, guys, and welcome back to the Balls of Steel show. Today, we have this guest who is based out of Pune and is running a health startup, right? And the way this health startup is working is like, you know, they do miraculous stuff with food, okay? And they reverse those, you know, kehte na bahut acute diseases hote hain, ye usko reverse kar dete hain with all the miraculous things that these guys can do. So when I say this, with that said, let me actually welcome on board Mugdha Pradhan from iThrive with us. Hi Mugdha, how are you?
Thank you, Sarthak. I'm doing very, very well. Thank you for having me on your show. And I love the fact that you use the word miracle, I think, 3 times in the introduction. Because honestly, the work we do feels like that, right? So we
That was the reason, you know, even when I was going through the company and seeing like what things you're doing, apart from every other thing that I could possibly understand in my small brain, the thing that got stuck with me was, boss, he reverse kar deta hai jo bhi acute disease hota hai. Ab, that is no less than a miracle for anyone. So I was like, it's miraculous, boss, ki agar aisa hota hai to achhi baat hai. So I would want to know more about this, right?
Sure.
And I'll dive into it by saying, you know, that what is the business that you are into, because of which we are going to say that you have got the Balls of Steel.
Sure. So, Sarthak, what we do, we work with chronic diseases or lifestyle diseases, right? Type 2 diabetes, blood pressure, PCOD, PCOS, gut health, gut issues, IBS, IBD. All of these different diseases, thyroid issues, Hashimoto's. So, we work with nearly 158 different diseases. We work on reversing them using a modality called functional medicine or functional nutrition.
Okay.
So we don't make shakes and smoothies, and we don't send any of these things. What we do is we use data from blood tests. Okay, so let's say someone comes to us with type 2 diabetes and says, "Ki Mukta, can you please make my disease go away?" I'll be like, "Yeah, sure. Show me your blood work. Let me see what's going on inside your body. Let me see why your body has actually gotten this disease, right? Do you have high levels of insulin, or is your pancreas not making enough insulin? What is really going on? Do you have deficiencies? Do you have infections?" So whatever are the reasons, we find out the root causes of why someone could have a particular disease, looking for the root causes in their blood test. And once we identify those root causes, we work on resolving those root causes. They say na ki weed hoga, like if there is a weed growing, if you just cut the weed from the top, it's going to grow back again. But agar aap jad se ukhaad dete ho, to wo matlab wo ugega hi nahi wapas, right? So it's the same way with diseases. If you treat the root cause, that disease goes away. So jaise type 2 diabetes mein, often it's insulin resistance. We treat that insulin resistance, the type 2 diabetes disappears. Now the question is, how do you treat it? So again, the answer is food. But it's not ki koi super foods khila rahe ki ye lo acai berry ka smoothie kha lo ya quinoa khao roll. It's not that. It's just understanding which food is really going to work well with your body. Do you need more protein? Do you need to eat more red meat? Do you need to eat more eggs? And then understanding also who you are. Abhi aap jaise, aapko agar main bolungi ki roj subah aap, idli dosa khao aur kuch khao nahi. Aap, agar if you're a Punjabi and if I say only eat this and no butter chicken in life, you're going to be like, nahi karna hai bhai, aisa koi diet. So understanding that, who you are, what are the things that you've eaten since childhood, what are your comfort foods, what are the foods, what is your lifestyle like? Are you someone who's traveling maybe 3 times a week? Understanding all of that, the softer aspect of who you are as a human being, combining that with the technical aspect of what's going on inside your body with blood tests, with advanced tests, and then creating a solution that's primarily food-based so that you can now start making changes in your life. That's what we really do. There are other things also, jaise sun exposure, aapka agar kam ho raha hai, we'll encourage that you go and spend some time in the sun for vitamin D. If you're not drinking enough water, if your sleep cycle is really messed up. So we'll help you with those lifestyle changes also. But 80% of the work is through food changes itself. So that's how we do our miracles.
Wow. It's
like, I know that was quite a long answer for a simple question.
No, that wasn't quite a long answer, but the answer was pretty damn simple, honestly. So yeah. The answer was pretty damn simple, and the work that you're doing around it is amazing. So that's the entire, you know, crux out of it. Because see, at the end, we log bahut saari cheezon ke liye bolte hain that, you know, problem ki root cause analysis kar lo, usko theek kar do, problem theek ho jayegi. But aise kitne log karte hain, that is the thing that should be a concern. And you know, when you are doing it, how you are doing it different, that is something that I am more interested in. Because you know, medicine ka bhi ek tarike se wahi kaam hota hai, but medicine hum kyun nahi lete, why would I go to you? That is another thing that I would be more interested to know. So how you guys, you are doing this, how this is different, and how much, you know, changes this has brought, that is something which I'm very interested to know. So actually, ab aap dekho, aapne chhota sa jawab diya, maine itne saare sawal uske liye kar diye, right? This is a very interesting space which you are getting into, and definitely, you know, my interest is very much peaked right now. Ki boss, ye ho kaise raha hai? Because aapne itne pyar se jo bataya na ki main ye nahi dungi, wo nahi dungi, bhai yahan pe bahut sare business chal rahe hain, us baat pe jo hi sab dete hain. So that is really, really great. And yes, so please tell me, first of all, let's start by one question, one by one. Ki yaar, how are you actually different with this whole methodology with your process from the regular medicine?
So see, one thing that regular conventional medicine, like we call that conventional medicine, right, which is different from the model that we have, is like, mm-hmm. if you go to a doctor with your type 2 diabetes, that doctor is going to prescribe metformin or glycomate, which are medicines for diabetes, right? And what those medicines are going to do is they're going to keep your blood sugar levels low. Mm-hmm. Is that curing the disease? No, it's just suppressing the symptom. Jaise aap sardard hoga and you go to a doctor or you go to a pharmacist and they'll give you a Crocin or a Dole or something, right? And then you take that and your headache is gone. You still don't know what caused the headache. You still don't know if there's a guarantee that the headache won't come back in the future. You have no idea about that. So it's the same with diseases and conventional medicine, that when you go to a doctor and you get diagnosed with a disease, the only option they have is to give you prescription medicines, whether it's high BP or whether it's type 2 diabetes or whether it's PCOD, PCOS, or even like acidity and things like that, they'll give you antacids.
True.
These things work on making you feel temporarily better, right? Mm. Symptoms aapke shayad gayab ho jayenge kuch der ke liye, kuch minton ke liye, kuch ghanton ke liye, kuch dinon ke liye. But they're not really truly curing the disease. So that's the difference, right? Like the essential difference between our model of functional nutrition, functional medicine, and what iThrive does and what regular medicine is that we work on reversal and curing, whereas that system just works on suppressing. So, and like when you come to that question of why is this a business with balls of steel, I'll get deeper into the dark reality of what really happens on that side of the world.
Right. So we'll get to that. So another thing, mujhe ek baat batao Mukta, like how much time does it really take? So let's say if I come to you with a certain disease, so what's a general time duration for any disease to be cured, and how do you decide for that time?
Yeah. So see, we typically onboard people for a 3-month program, because we ask, see, the way we do our work also, na, so it's, one is like the technical aspect, blood test dekh liya, and like we've analyzed and we've come up with solutions. Mm-hmm. If I had to just print and give that to you or email that to you, you could have spent some time on Google and learned, and maybe you would have come up with something that was 20-50% close to that. The real difficulty or the real challenge people have is in actually implementing changes, right? So knowledge is one aspect. Knowing what's really happening is one aspect. Second is application of that knowledge and making changes. So we ask for 3 months from people so that we can handhold them, support them, educate them, and empower them with all the things that they need to do to apply the knowledge, that like the information that they receive from their blood work.
Got it.
Now, type 2 diabetes, we've usually seen like by the end of 3 months, the blood sugars are like really normalized. Okay. Weight loss. And I consider weight also as a dysfunction itself, because normally your body will not gain weight unless there is some underlying dysfunction, which is what had happened in my case until 2017, when I figured out what was going on and I lost 37 kgs, which is what happened again last year in my case, where I was exposed to a chemical and that kind of messed up a lot of pathways, and my body used weight as a protective mechanism, right? So weight loss, typically what we've seen in 3 months, most women lose on an average about 8 kgs. Men lose more. Men can lose about 12 to 14 kgs also sometimes.
Wow.
Thyroid gets normalized in 3 months. PCOD, PCOS symptoms get normalized in 3 months. The autoimmune conditions take a little longer. So if someone comes to us with things like fibromyalgia, or if someone comes to us with SLE, lupus, multiple sclerosis, like really, really complicated autoimmune conditions, because these have developed over maybe 10, 15, 20 years in this person's life, right? So for them, sometimes it takes us up to 6 months to help them sort out that. So every disease ka timeline actually slightly different, but on an average, 3 months is what is enough for us for the typical top five diseases that people come to us with.
Got it. And so let's say that, you know, when you're, as you said, that you're doing the hand-holding process. So when you're doing this hand-holding process, Mukhda, how are you giving them, or how are you connecting with them? And like, do you have an online portal? Do you do it over calls, WhatsApp? Or how do you do the hand-holding process? And how do you keep a record of what is happening? How are they improving and all those things? How does that part works?
So, see, the way we do this right now, let's say you come, okay? So, Sarthak says, hey, Mukhda, I want to sign up with you. And you don't even have a disease. You just want to, like, scale up your health, right? You want to improve. You want to get better in terms of energy and muscle mass and everything. So, you come to us. You sign up with us. We create a very personalized WhatsApp group. We call it the Wellness Lounge. So, it's you. It's your functional nutritionist. It's a health coach, because the health coach works on the actual application of the knowledge, right? Which is the lifestyle changes, the behaviors that you need to bring in, the habits that you need to bring in. And the functional nutritionist is the one who's doing the technical stuff, the analysis of your blood work, creating your customized protocols, figuring out your supplement needs, right? Like, let's say you're super deficient in B12 or you have very low vitamin D levels, then you might need to supplement to bring those levels up.
True.
So that technical work is done by the functional nutrition. So this is your own personal WhatsApp group. It's real-time response. 3 months undiluted attention given to you. There are weekly review calls that happen over phone. There's also, so I'm a big believer in the community model. So we have a community group where all our, whatever you want to call them, clients, patients, I don't even like those words, basically my tribe members, right? Like my people who have made sure that I am continuing to be an entrepreneur. So these are the people who are there in that group. So there is your personalized group and there is this community group. And all the attention that you need is done through the WhatsApp group. We do have a lot of tracking and monitoring systems as well. So there's a Google spreadsheet, right, where you are, that's your accountability, that you are going to update this spreadsheet with all the things we ask you for through the day. Like, what have you eaten? What time did you wake up? What time did you sleep? How much sunlight did you get? How much did you walk?
Right.
So between the tracking and monitoring, between the real-time response and lots of communication and two-way communication, and between the community there to kind of also encourage you, you kind of actually reach your health goal with all the technical knowledge that we have.
Wow.
It's a pretty interesting model. It's a model that's really based on a lot of love and care and authenticity. And there's a reason why it's designed like that, because when I had to go through my own personal health journey, right, I did not have anyone else. Like, I was just doing this by reading books. And like, I mean, I do have a master's degree in nutrition, but functional medicine was new to me, right? So I was studying while working on my health. And I didn't have even one person to bounce off the ideas against, like, oh, these guys are saying gluten-free. What can I do to go gluten-free in India? And that, this was very long ago, 2016, 2017. So I realized that when someone starts their healing journey, what they really need is a lot of support, a lot of people around them to cheer them, to kind of say that it's okay if you fail. And that's why it's designed like this. So we aren't one of those companies where we are looking at, you know, onboarding 20,000 people a month and like having an app that's going to send automated, hi, how are you? Good morning. Did you have a glass of water today? Kind of messages. We have real humans who work with other humans.
I like that. Okay. Okay. Got it. So Mugdha, let's talk about, you know, kind of the pricing model. So how does the pricing model work? And like, I'm pretty sure, like, you know, there's a certain system of pricing that you have. And what's like the, like, let's say if I'm coming to you, what is the minimum price that I should be expecting that I would be paying to you? And how long can the treatment last? Is it only 3 months or what is the longest that you have worked with the clients?
Yeah, so in terms of pricing, na Sarthak, we are kind of pretty premium. Also, given that we actually have people working on cases, right? It's not an automated system.
Right.
That's one, right? Like, one is the internal team itself, because we have some really, really top talent here in terms of the nutritionists, right? It's a pretty aspirational place to work in, I thrive also.
Right.
So the people internally and how many clients they can take on board at any given point of time, that's something that I really take care of, because I don't want my team to burn out. We have a very strict 9-to-5 policy. Like, no one works after 5.
Okay.
And everyone's like encouraged to have lives beyond work.
Right.
So one is that, right? Like, it's because of the kind of quality we offer and the kind of high impact, high value work we do, the pricing is premium.
Okay.
The second thing is I also use it as a filtration criteria, because see, a lot of people say they want to work on their health,
right,
but the kind of commitment and discipline it takes for someone who's really willing to do the work, I want that commitment to be seen also in terms of the amount they're willing to invest into this. So for our 3-month program, and this is just the Alive vertical, right? The one-on-one personal coaching thing.
Right.
We also have an academy where we're teaching functional nutrition to other people. I'll talk about that in a bit.
Right.
We also have our supplements. But the Alive program for 3 months, we start at 65,000. Okay.
Got it.
And yeah, that's like really different. So when I have calls with investors, and like now we are in the middle of our third fundraise, right? Like,
oh, wow.
You should see the conversations, and you should see the faces sometimes when I say that our product is at like 65,000, because again, we can go into that conversation, like scale and as a business,
right,
and all of that.
Right, true.
But we charge 65,000, which is the base price. And then if we have complicated cases, right, like we have one case from the US where this person actually got vaccine-induced damage because of the mRNA vaccines, and like he's got myocarditis, and then we're working on kind of resolving that.
Wow.
Or we get like really complicated autoimmune conditions, and that requires a lot of R&D effort, because we also have a entire R&D unit here within the team, apart from the ones who work with clients, right?
Okay.
So then the pricing kind of goes up a little, and someone wants to work one-on-one. So I do more of, now I work around the psycho-spiritual aspects of healing, the mind and the emotions and this soul work itself. So that's a completely, and I don't even take, like, I might just take maybe one or two clients a month, right? So that's a completely different thing, very exclusive, mostly by invite kinds.
Right.
But the starting point is 65,000.
Got it.
If someone just wants to consult and see if iThrive actually is going to work for them, if they want to kind of just come and discuss their health history and their case and like just find out if we can serve them or not, then we have consultations that start off at 999, right? So that's a 1-hour discussion, just helping you figure out what's going on.
Nice.
So that's how it is.
That's very fair. Yeah, that's very fair, because when a lot of human work is being put into the game, then you know everything needs to be rewarded very fairly. And especially I also like this part that you have taken into consideration, that was and this is very true also, that people who are really committed, they are ready to put in the bucks also.
Yes,
so that commitment shows with the money also. So that's a very good thing that you've mentioned. So also tell me one thing, yaar, I'm actually intrigued to know, do you get cases where, because see, thyroid is a very common problem, and I have seen people having it for years. So does it happen that, you know, people having thyroid for 10 years, 15 years come to you, and then 3 months and it's gone? Has it happened?
Yeah,
before?
It does. See, the thing with any dysfunction, na Sarthak, it builds up over time. Yes, right. It could be in your body for long, but your body is... Every symptom that your body is showing you is your body attempting to communicate with you, including weight gain. Like, even if you're gaining weight on that scale, no, it's because your body is saying, hey, I'm trying to use a system that you understand so that you can see something's off inside. So even when your thyroid, basically what happens, and most thyroid cases are hypothyroidism, right? Like where the thyroid is not functioning well. So what happens? Weight gain happens, brain fog happens, the mood goes down, metabolism slows down, lethargy happens, your TSH readings will be high.
Right.
The question to ask is, why is it an organ that was functioning so beautifully from the time you were born until maybe you were 20, 25 or 30? Uh-huh. What uh-huh. made it go off, right? Like, switch band kyun hua? Right. So when you ask that, usually what we found in thyroid cases is it's usually deficiencies of nutrients like your B complex and zinc and iron, copper, protein itself, selenium, right. iodine. These deficiencies build up over time. So True. That can cause it. The other most common reason why we found thyroid gets impacted is because of infections. Okay, so right. this is not like the usual virals that we have, not the flu thing. Mm-hmm. But these are more chronic insidious infections that lie in our body without major symptoms apart from creating these diseases. So something like an Epstein-Barr virus mm-hmm. or an H. pylori infection or yeah. the cytomegalovirus or even streptococcus, right? So I'm saying all these big names. You'll have to stop me when I get too geeky, okay? Because that's a tendency I have. No. I'm very passionate about this work, and then I lose track of the fact that, like, maybe not everyone knows what streptococcus means, but these are bacteria and viruses, okay?
No worries.
These could come somewhere from the environment. You could have gotten infected. No major symptoms of the infection, except that they're now in your body,
right.
Creating inflammation, attacking an organ system, and therefore reducing that organ's ability to function. Stress also, like in thyroid specifically, stress is a major cause of why the thyroid becomes dysfunctional because the thyroid is like this master gland, okay? It maintains the metabolism of your entire body and it actually works in coordination with three other glands. One is the hypothalamus, which is in your brain. The second one is also the pituitary, which is in your brain. And third is the adrenal glands, which sit on top of your kidneys.
True.
These three glands are always scanning the environment, making sense. Is there a threat? Is there not a threat? And like they're trying to figure that out. That's an evolutionary mechanism. But because we now live under constant stress, right? It could be money stress. It could be stress for time. It could be stress from relationship. Hajar and one reasons for why we get stressed. That constant stress is constantly telling the thyroid that, oh, we are in a threatening situation, like rev up the metabolism. We might have to run anytime. We might have to fight anytime. There's a tiger in the environment, like just run. And yeah, like literally, see, at an evolutionary biochemical level, no, our system is still very much primed for the jungle. The entire industrial revolution has made us face civilization that a biology might not be fully ready for. So because of that, our thyroid can actually get dysfunctional. So once we find out what's really going on with a person, why is their thyroid not functioning optimally, and we fix those things one by one, automatically the thyroid is like, thank you so much. I'll do my work properly now. Right? So it starts functioning properly.
Right. My God. Okay, tell me one more thing. Do you have a clinic or do you do all the work over phones and calls only?
Yeah, so we have what we call as our headquarters. That's in Pune. People drop by if they want to come and meet us. But I think like 95% of our clients, we've not even met them physically. Because the thing is, whatever changes you have to make, right? Since we're working with food, since we're not doing any IV treatments, or we're not doing any infrared saunas, or we're not doing any hyperbaric chamber, like we're not doing any of those treatments, we are saying that food is going to bring about the turnaround in your health, which means we have to be with them where they are, in their homes, in their kitchens, in their offices, like in during their travel. We have to be with them, and that's more easily done with technology than it is with them having to come and see us, right? So we work with people across the globe, right from New Zealand to Canada. We have people we work with and we can do all of that sitting here in Pune. So that's the model.
Great, man. That's really, really great. Okay, so that has given me a lot of insight. But now tell me, how do you take on your competition? Because see, your competition is not just medicine. Your competition, when you say food, is also dietitians, pediatricians, and all these people in this category who are also working, you know, as on a custom diet for their own clientele and doing some sort of a similar stuff. Right. There could be minute differences, but I guess I would like to hear from you that how are you taking on that kind of competition?
So we don't compete with them. We collaborate with them. That's why the academy was launched. See, my real one is like the conventional healthcare system, the doctors, the corporate hospitals and the pharma. those are the big guys, okay? So we really are going up against some big, big money.
Right.
That's why I need Balls of Steel here.
True.
But the other ones, right? The dietitians, the nutritionists, the alternative medicine practitioners, the naturopaths, the Ayurvedic doctors who are also now venturing into nutrition, the homeopaths, the physiotherapists, the psychologists. We're seeing a lot of psychologists, psychiatrists who have realized the impact of food on people's brain.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones whom we started teaching in our academy 2 years. So we launched the academy 2 years ago because we started seeing this demand. So what we do is very unique, Sarthak, like being able to look at somebody's blood test, being able to interpret what's really going on and then create really custom plans, right? Like even a dietitian, because see, I've done my master's in nutrition from SNDT, right? And lovely college, absolutely amazing teachers, taught me the basics of nutrition. But I wouldn't be able to use that knowledge to reverse a disease. At best, I might be able to give somebody a sufficiently better eating plan, like don't eat Maggi, don't eat biscuits kind of a thing. So these people, this community, these actual care providers who want to help people with food realize that their knowledge also is lacking when they started seeing the kind of work we do, right? And we started getting people asking me, like, can I learn this, right? And we're like, okay, why don't we do this? So we condensed most of what we know into a 4-month certification course called the Certificate Program in Functional Nutrition. And we offer that through our academy portal.
Right.
Started off in Jan 2021, completed 2 years this January. Man. 200 plus students have graduated from that.
Yeah.
And the reason one of the potential investors had asked me, like, aren't you creating your own competition by teaching people what you do? So the answer is no. Okay. One is the vision I have is really to create a planet set free of diseases. Right. That's the vision, right? Like, we want healthier, happier, lifestyle disease-free community across the world. And there is no way iThrive can reach 9 billion people.
Right.
There is no way. Right. How are we going to do that? Then we are going to enlist more and more soldiers in this war against disease. And the best way to do that is to teach them what we know and how to fight this war.
Right.
Secondly, even if somebody wanted to compete with us after learning from us, the knowledge, because we have an R&D team, we have like, like, if you've not realized it yet, like, I'm always like geeking about nutrition and studying, right?
So I have realized, please.
So the level of knowledge that we acquire, literally every day we learn something. Like, I'm not joking. Like, yesterday I learned something about one case, a really tiny kid, 7-year-old, and like one tiny genetic mutation in her made her so sensitive to one amino acid. Like, it's, and then we figure out which test she can do in a local lab to confirm that, right? So every day we learn something new. Now, it's really hard for anyone else to keep up with that pace of learning because like, our passwords for Wi-Fi are like learning and growth, right? So it's an organization driven by knowledge and by learning. So that's how it is, right?
I'm assuming that you would be making case study for every case that you would be solving, right?
Yeah, we have a huge repository of case studies. We actually, even with the academy students, every month we do a case study discussion, right? Like, the most complicated case we got this month, and let's review it together kind of a thing. So knowledge is one edge that we will always have, even if somebody wanted to compete. The vision itself is a very collaborative vision. It's not about competing. So internally, in my heart, I know I want to collaborate with people. I'm not threatened by people. So that makes my reality and my world really simple. Right. And the third thing is, every academy student has become an affiliate with us. So when they get cases, because sometimes they're just single people without a team, without a company, they've just started off independently after learning from us. So if they get a case that's super complicated for them that they can't on their own deal with, they'll bring that case to us and they become like, we partner with them, right? So we'll do the complicated analysis, the technical stuff, the supplementation, and they'll work with the client anyway. So their relationship is maintained with their client, but we give them the backend support that they need. So when there is such a beautiful relationship that they have with the people who taught them, why would they break that in the interest of trying to create something on their own, right? So it's a very, very community collaboration, and let's do this, guys. Let's go against Big Pharma and corporate hospitals. And
That's a really good one. Yeah, that's a really, really good one. So that brings me to one more question, Mugdal. So when you have so many affiliates, when you have so many partners with you, does your pricing model still remains the same, or do you, as the, I would say, master, here decide that, okay, you will also be following this kind of pricing model? Or is it like, are they free to go the way they want to? Like, how does that function?
They are free to do whatever they want to.
Okay.
And in fact, one of the things that I and the CEO of iThrive work very hard on is telling people to price themselves right for the value that they're providing. Because you look, see, you could go pay 500 rupees or 1000 rupees to a dietitian and get a diet plan and come.
Right.
Now, I know the intrinsic value of the services I offer. I know how high value, high impact it is. Like, I, in my mind, it's settled. So I never feel like one, like, bit of discomfort when I say 65,000 or even like 1.5 or whatever, right?
Right.
But these guys are like, some of them might have just finished their masters and they've come out into the world and they've done our 4-month course and they're like bright-eyed and starry-eyed and all of that, but the confidence to ask for money is not there.
Right.
So part of the academy training is also like, guys, understand what you're doing. You're giving life back into somebody who is diseased. So don't be embarrassed about asking for money. So go ahead, like, ask for whatever is right. We don't control on, oh, since we are charging this much, you should not charge more than this kind of a thing. That's not how collaborations are done, Sarth. So it's really about empowering. Like, I mean, I'm in love with my academy students. I'll do anything to protect them and fight for them. So
that's great.
Including like making them independent.
Now that brings me to a very another interesting question, Mugdha. That is, ki yaar, again, from the outside and from the broader picture, this is a normal kind of a consultancy, health consultancy business. Okay.
Right.
How did you make this an investable business?
Great question. Because who would want to kind of fund, like, it's easy to fund a health tech startup or any of that,
exactly.
Right? But
exactly.
Yeah, like, who would want to fund a nutritionist? So this is a very interesting story, Sarthak. When I started off 2017, I kind of fixed my own health, right? I was 97 kgs by then.
Okay.
Super depressed, suicidal, horribly broke, constipated all the time. I had an autoimmune condition called Hashimoto's. I had like pre-diabetes. I was really, really sick. And you can see that, like, there are enough of my before pictures scattered over the internet.
Right.
So that's when I discovered functional medicine. And I literally, like I said earlier, I listened to podcasts, I read books, I watched YouTube videos, I subscribed to kind of articles, I research papers, went to IFM website, like consumed knowledge like crazy, and then started doing my blood work, started interpreting it, and started fixing my health. So automatically, it bore fruit, right? Like, I lost 37 kgs and I got my health back. And that time, like, the only thing I had was Facebook. I wasn't even doing like any marketing on it. I till date, I suck at marketing, by the way, because my interest is entirely in like geeking about stuff.
Uh-huh.
So only thing that happened was my Facebook profile picture started changing.
Right.
So family and friends are like, whatever you're doing for yourself, can we get some of that, please?
Achha.
And so July 2017 is when I signed up, like 3-4 people, I think, first time. I was like, chalo. Khud ke toh blood test I did, right? Like, I knew my symptoms. I knew what was going on. Can I standardize this and can I do this for someone else?
Right.
And that time I charged like 2,500 a month or something, because it was a beta test for me, right?
Right.
I did, and surprisingly, I could figure out. So
okay.
I could understand what was going on in their health. I made solutions for them and it worked, right? So, and I kept doing that. So by 2018, so 2017 entirely was people who were coming to me for weight loss. 2018, weight loss started becoming type 2 diabetes. People started coming. Thyroid issues, people started coming. And then more and more complicated cases started coming, right? Ulcerative colitis, fibromyalgia, all of these conditions started coming.
Right.
And I worked, right? I never said no to any one of them. This phase also was the phase when I was being this nomad. Just 2 bags. 1 month in Goa, 1 month in Uttarakhand, 1 month in... just randomly traveling all over the world and working on helping people solve their health problems.
True.
So I had this case of ulcerative colitis.
Okay.
This girl was on immunosuppressants for nearly 13 years. Okay, steroids. And she discovered me somewhere. She called, she spoke with me. I was like, let's see if we can help you. And 3 months later, I mean, the girl who used to be horizontal and wheelchair bound most of the time had gone for a trek. So she had some relatives visit her and they saw her and they're like, what happened to you? Whoever did this for you, please share a number with me.
Achha.
And Huh. So her aunt called me up. She's like, okay, I'm Pooja's aunt. And like, you know, amazing work you've done with her. So I'd like to meet you for me and my husband. And luckily, I was in Pune at that time. They were in Pune at that time. So I met them at the Marriott. I didn't sit and Google whom I'm meeting and all. I was like, somebody who needs my help, let me go and meet. So I went and I told them, okay, let's get your blood work done. Do this, do that. And this is how we'll work. And he, so his name is Rajesh Ranawat. That time he had asked me, okay, we'll do all of this, but what's your vision? And I was like, I want to heal the planet, right? I want to make sure that disease no longer exists.
Right.
And he was like, okay. And then very sagely, he nodded and everything. And they signed up. I gave them the list of tests. Then from there, I think I had gone off somewhere, Egypt or something.
Right.
Did the work 2.5 months in. He saw how powerful the method was. And I did not know this, that he was like a serial investor. Like, I mean, he works in Hong Kong, but he also invests in a lot of startups. So when I had like a review call with him around the 2.5 month timeline, and he was by the way, if you really want to do this, like if you really want to heal the planet, I hope you realize you can't do that alone. So I was like, yeah, but who's in a hurry, right? Like I have all the time in the world. So he's like, if you're interested, I can come on board as an investor. I've invested in a lot of other companies and I can see that this is something that's really scalable. It's based on a system. There's a method to the madness. And I can see that this can really become big. So if you're interested, I can come on board as an investor and like, you know, hire a team and let's do this.
Right.
And like, okay, sounds interesting. And I was like, sounds interesting. And he said, my only condition is that you'll stop wandering around and you'll find a place from where you want to build a company.
Okay.
Okay. So, and this, I narrate this at so many startup events, they laugh because everyone has this question. How do you find your first investor?
Right.
I told him, oh, give me 2 days to think about this, because I was like, if I have to take funding, but I have to stop being a nomad, do I really want to make that choice, right? And I really took 2 days to think, like someone is offering Samne Se funding and I'm like, give me 2 days to think about it. So I did. And then I sat and I thought, like, what do I really want to do? I really, really wanted to fulfill this vision of like having a planet that's free of diseases. And then I said, okay, like, I think I'm done being a nomad. It's the universe itself giving me a gift beyond what I can imagine. So I said yes to him, came to Pune, set up a company and started from there. Right. So that's where the first round of funding came.
Okay.
And then like that was June 2019. And then the second round of funding happened in November 2021. And now we're working on the third round, the pre-series A round.
Wow.
it's very interesting
my god, this is like one of an ideal situation, yeah, where you know you have a customer who becomes an investor, and these are very not so commonly found stories. So I'm glad that I know this story now, right? And this is a big motivator, Mukta, when when you're doing something, you have such kind of vision and someone comes in to support
it's such a huge validation of your existence beyond everything else, right? Like, okay, you started doing something, you were driven by your life circumstances to kind of figure out something, and that figuring out thing was useful to other people, so you're creating value for the world. Right. And look, now someone's saying, let's make this bigger, right? I can't tell you how good I felt in that moment, even though I took 2 days to consider that decision.
Right.
Because in the end, see, it's a commitment to someone, right? So it's not something like, oh, let me try this for 3 months and then I'll say, no, I don't want to do this, right? I mean, I had to think from a 20, 50 year timeline that I'm saying yes to something. Am I really committed to this? Because I kind of walked out of a marriage in 2017. So I had to be like really sure I was committing again properly for the right reasons.
Right. My God. Okay. So that's actually an interesting story. Now to help me understand a bit of the number side, Mukta, like customers won't be the right word. Patients won't be the right word. How many people's lives have you made better? Okay.
Yeah. I would say so. See, so far, like in terms of the consults we've had, remember what I said, if someone just wants to come
right.
and talk about
I remember. Yes.
So that I think we've done like more than 6,000 people we've interacted with.
Wow.
One-on-one work, because when I was doing solo work, I was taking like very few people, right? Like I was traveling and I just wanted to make sure that and all of that. So I wasn't really obsessed. That was the thing, na? I was not like sitting and hoarding money. But once we started off as a company, then we started becoming more focused in terms of the actual business aspect of it. So I think if I have to think back, so far we work with nearly 2,300 people with whom we've done this one-on-one, three-month program and given life back into their lives. The academy, of course, like 200 students have graduated so far. Supplements. So we do have a third vertical where we make supplements, right? Like really good quality nutrients, magnesium, vitamin D, B complex and all of that. So that's, I mean, we launched that November 2021 only. And that again, more than 10,000, 15,000 people are buying our supplements.
Wow, man. Wow. Yeah. More than 10,000, 15,000 people monthly.
No. Not yet. Will happen.
Yeah. So how are you selling them? Are you selling them via like online Amazon wagera ya phir you
have so Amazon, Flipkart, even Luke Cortino's platform, no? UK, they stock our supplements. And then like of course our own clients, if they need any nutrients, then they buy our own supplements because they trust
these supplements. Supplement. These are like what? Are these like tablets? Are these food items? What? How are these like? Are this powder?
No,
what is
so
this?
See, magnesium, like magnesium. Is a powder. It's just pure magnesium powder. So it comes in a dabba. You add half a scoop of that to water and you drink it in the night. You get your day's requirement of magnesium. Achha. Vitamin D is a capsule. B complex is a capsule, right? Like these are actual nutrients that are inside a capsule.
Okay. So yeah, with these supplements, you two are actually competing with the big ones because, you know, they are there and abhi to you're starting out. So that's a very big competition, right?
Huh. That's why Balls of Steel.
So what's your vision with these, with this vertical? What is your vision with this vertical?
See, in the end, everything that we do as a company ties into that one primary vision. Like as a company, our vision is to create healthier, happier, lifestyle disease-free communities across the world every single day. Right. So every decision, every vertical we launch ties into that larger vision. So the supplements also go into that. Now, you look at the projections in terms of revenues and growth, right, like the actual business aspect of it, each of these verticals are literally capable of becoming unicorns in themselves. Because we have just five supplements because that's what we started off with. Like it's very working capital intensive, right, a supplements business.
Right, true.
Over time, like if you look at the amount of research these guys have done and the kind of formulations they've already created and kept, we'll have supplements that are like from disease specific to everyday essentials to even like for the upgrade. So when I say essentials, it's your basic stuff, your magnesium, vitamin D, zinc and B complex.
All right.
Then disease specific, we'll have like one thing for type 2 diabetes, right? So herbs like berberin going in, nutrients like chromium going in. For thyroid, we'll have like one formulation which will take care of the nutrients that are needed for thyroid. So you just take that instead of taking 10 different supplements. And then you have like these entire set of biohackers, right? People who are looking at optimizing their health. They don't have a disease, but they want to make it better. And then things like your antioxidants, NMN and glutathione and molecular hydrogen. So all of these things come in there. Then there's the entire pediatric set of like apne bacche, right? Like who need like a lot of support with their immune system. So that. Then you have the geriatric population, the older ones who, as they're aging, their body's ability to absorb nutrients also comes down. They start losing muscle mass. They start seeing a decline in bone health, cognitive health. So they need a different kind of support. So supplements come to fill the gap that nutrition can't fulfill.
Right.
So you could be eating the best quality of food, but given how depleted the soil is now, given what's happening with our environmental pollutants, the need for nutrition is higher. And if food can't give you that, then supplements come to bridge that gap. And sometimes supplements come really more from a cure perspective, and it's herbs. If you have, let's say, Epstein-Barr virus infection, the virus that I spoke of earlier for thyroid, there's a herb called cat's claw. So that cat's claw goes and kills that Epstein-Barr virus. Right. Sometimes you use supplements, like you use herbs like that as supplements, right? To actually do targeted work inside the body.
It's a
$1 billion business on its own. Like I could just do supplements and like have a booming business.
We'll create $3 billion businesses, right? And we'll create 3 unicorns out of iThrive. But now I would want to understand, you know, we have got a very fair understanding of, you know, the entire business that is happening at iThrive and how you've been taking this and how things are happening, right? And one last question before I actually jump on to the your journey part. How do your customers find you now? Is it completely word of mouth, or is it marketing, inbound, outbound, word of mouth, everything, or do you have some mechanism for it?
So earlier when I was solopreneur, it was entirely word of mouth. Uh-huh. I had anticipated that the referral ratio would come down the minute it started becoming other people, like the team itself, not me so much one-on-one. Uh-huh. So 2017 to 2019, 100% word of mouth. 2019 to nearly mid-2021, it still was 80% referrals.
Okay.
2021 to now, that ratio has, because I mean, we've expanded in scale, right? Not that the number of referrals are coming down, but because like the number of active clients we have per month has increased. So the referral ratio has now come to 60, right? So then where are the other 40% coming from? So of course, we do have a pretty decent social media feed going on. We hired people to do marketing because I didn't know how to do that. So that's going on, right? So we are getting, like, our brand also gets recognized as someone who's very authentic and knowledgeable. So people come to our Instagram or other social media handles to learn. Right. And to understand better. If you've gone and scanned, you'll see that we don't have too many pictures of me standing with a bowl of salad and me laughing or me doing any of that, right? We don't have... Right. There's very little glamour, more of authentic knowledge. So that's what we keep putting out, right? Like, even if people just follow Instagram through that, learn and take care of their own health, I'll be happy. They don't have to sign up with us. But there are other... inflection points, like Better India did a article about me in August on their own, right? They called me up, they spoke to me, and they wrote about me. Right. And that kind of reach was massive, right? Like, I mean, from the marketing perspective, I wish a Better India article happened like every month. But it was insane. It was that weekend of Independence Day wala weekend, right? August 15th. I was in Dubai.
Right.
And my phone, the team's phone, like, all phones were ringing throughout, right? So that kind of inflection point. Then when I got invited for the TED talk, so these are not planned, right? Like I didn't plan on going and doing a TED talk. Someone invited me and I went and spoke. But the minute that went on the TED platform, it brought a lot of instant visibility to us. So we do our own share of like putting content out and like kind of working on, you know, consistently keep doing that every day. And then these external inflection points happen, and then they just carry us forward, and then more and more people become aware of us.
Got it. Wow, that's nice. Now let's you know, understand about your journey, Mugdha. So help me understand, like, you know, where were you born? Where did you go for your schooling? Then everything that led to, you know, finally starting the business.
So I am literally the first entrepreneur in my entire family. My grandfather worked in one company and retired from the same company after 40 years. My dad changed maybe 3 companies. And, I have no entrepreneurial background at all. I was born in a small tiny village called Whitefield, which has now become a megalithic monster called the Bangalore IT city. But I was born there. They were literally just 3 or 4 houses. There used to be wolves coming in the night. Very, very heavily forested. And I grew up in that environment. I grew up in nature, right? Like, mostly covered in mud through the day, climbing on trees, finding fruits, eating them. I think as close to being a wild child as possible. I did school also there, so we were there until 8th standard, and my dad then changed jobs, and we moved to Pune. So I did 2 years of schooling in Pune. That was one shift that happened, because for me, leaving that natural surrounding, moving to a city, was really, really challenging. I was always someone with a lot of social anxiety.
Right.
Because, I mean, I could communicate with trees and puppies and kittens better than I could with humans.
Okay. So,
leaving that and coming to the city and having to integrate with the city kids, na, because we didn't even know what like things like ye kya hota hai, coke and all of that was, na, because we Whitefield was a really small, tiny village that time. And here all the kids would like hang out after school and have like coke and Pepsi and biscuits and chips, and like it was actually a cool thing to be able to do that and afford to do that. So I thought, if I have to fit in, I have to do all of those things. So I started doing that with them, right? And obviously my body could not handle processed food. Also, I was terribly missing my childhood life and having to like figure out how to mix with new people. So in all of that, I started gaining weight that time only. And then I figured out, okay, this was not a good thing. My mom also helped me. And then that weight never really ballooned into, like, my body always has a tendency to gain weight when things are going wrong, basically, right? That's how my body communicates with me. For other people, it could be headaches. For somebody, it could be acidity. For someone else, it could be aches and pains. For me, weight. Okay.
Right.
From Pune, then we moved to Bombay. And I did not really want to go into the traditional streams of like science, commerce, arts. I was always interested in food and medicine. My mom was a nurse. And my mom was a nurse who worked for free for the 14 years that we lived in Whitefield with the Satya Sai Baba Hospital, right?
Oh my God, okay.
So after school, which was like a village school, I would go and hang out with her in the hospital. So I was like her compounder. Because it was free service, no? And all villagers would come there. Someone would have cut their leg with an axe. Somebody would have fallen off a tree. So literally any kind of gory stuff would come to the hospital.
Right.
And I would assist her, right? So I kind of knew the names of all those medicines that she would use for dressings. And also she'd tell me, give me zinc oxide, give me this, give me that syrup. And I would give that to her. So I grew up in that environment of helping people heal. The doctors that were there in that hospital also were very, very kind doctors. Like they would diagnose somebody with just a stethoscope, like the old world doctors. So I grew up seeing that. My dad, his entire career was in the dairy industry. He worked with ice cream factories. So I was fascinated by food because of him, because he would come up with amazing flavor combinations. So somewhere I think my mom's healing and my dad's food, like those two worlds collided. And I was like, I think I want to learn nutrition. So I went and studied nutrition in Bombay, and like 7 years deep nutrition study, did my master's, graduated, came out, started looking for jobs. That time, this was 2001, the jobs that were available were all gym jobs and VLCC and all of that, right? And I was like, what? Like, what am I studying? What am I doing here? So I went and I fought with my teachers. I went to my college and I literally fought with my teachers. Like, maine 7 saal jo padhai ki, uske liye kaam nahi hai, right? I don't like this work. What is this? Like, I don't like this. And then one of my teachers was like, calm down. There's a faculty position available here. You can come and teach here. Right. Because they knew how fascinated I was by the academic aspect of nutrition, right?
Right.
So I taught in college and then I got married. We moved to Hyderabad. Again, same story, right? Like when I went to Hyderabad again, like that time Hyderabad, no one even knew me, right? Like no teachers on my side. So I was like, okay, this field, like, you know, it's great for studying, but I don't think it's great as a career opportunity, because again, I had to look at gyms and like I joined one VLCC in Hyderabad and I quit in 15 days.
Right.
So then I spoke to my now ex-husband's colleagues. He was in the IT industry and they told me, like, you know, given the kind of person you are, maybe if you like, if you want to do a career change, maybe you'll do really well in HR. So I shifted, I switched careers. I went to XLRI, I studied HR.
Wow.
And then I spent like nearly 13 years in the corporate world. I was Flipkart's first HR hire when Sachin and Bini had just gotten funded by Axel.
Oh, wow.
So So I did a lot of startup HR. I did not like doing big company HR. I actually had joined one company also, Tesco. And again, I was like, not my cup of tea.
Right.
So mostly did startup HR until we went to Toronto, because my he wanted to always live abroad, right?
Right.
And in those 13 years of being in HR, no, Sarthak, I kind of completely lost focus on my health, because that marriage also was not such a great one, right? Like, already I was depressed. It was like I was using food to kind of just numb the emotions, to get through the day.
Right.
So food addiction had happened big time. My pregnancy itself triggered deeper depression, right? And I actually suffered with postpartum depression. I was on antidepressants for a year. So mental health just kept going downward and downward in the spiral. Physical health, of course, was really getting worse, to a point where I didn't even look at myself in the mirror. I just wouldn't, because I didn't want to, right? Like, I'd quickly like, achha chalo, beti ke dabbe banane school ke liye, let's get her ready, let's get to work, no time, all of that happening. And then when we moved to Toronto, I finally had time to kind of just pause and look at myself in the mirror. Right. And I couldn't recognize who was looking back. I just couldn't. I didn't see me at all, right? And that's when I really fully broke down. I attempted to start doing something for myself, but I couldn't, given that environment, given that, I mean, there I was still with him, and like, it just wasn't really working well for me. And then I decided that, like, I have to, like, do something for myself. I have to take care of myself. And I decided to come back to India. I came back to India with my daughter. I think it was one of the most difficult yet courageous decisions I took. Because I did not have any support in that decision, right? Like, no one in my family has gotten divorced. No one. It's a very typical middle-class conservative Maharashtrian family.
I understand, right?
And, you know, there was a, like, complete ostracization. There was a time when I was out of money because I was getting sicker, right? Like, I had not figured out how to fix my health. The stress of coming to India, no money, being ostracized, no one could understand what was really going on, having to fend for myself and my daughter, taking care of her. There was a day when I just had like 300 rupees in my account, and I had to pay rent, and I had to kind of figure out food, and it was really hard. And then my daughter got sick. She needed to be hospitalized a couple of times. It was getting really messy. And that hospitalization, kind of the bill went to some 1.5 lakhs. Thankfully, my dad stepped in for that. And he was like, you know, if you're willing to go back to your husband, I'll sponsor your ticket. But I'm not letting you stay here anymore. And I was like, pardon my English, but I was like, fuck this shit, right? Like, I've had enough. I have to figure out how to take care of myself. And I realized I have to start from my health. Because if I didn't have health, because that entire phase when it was so difficult and dark, was also when my health was really getting worse and worse. So I would need like a lot of tea and coffee just to get through the day. And I remember one evening, I think I'd had like 8 cups of tea, and I was still so tired and exhausted. I was just laying in bed, and my daughter was like, you know, Mama, I'm hungry. Please give me dinner. So I was like, you know, enough. I have to do something. It starts from like just physically being able to stand up and get things done and take care of her and me. And that's when I just literally prayed to the universe, like, just send me something. Like, I want to do what it takes, but I don't know where to begin. And then I saw this TED video from Rangan Chatterjee about, it was called The Surprising Secret, something like that, right? And he spoke of this approach of functional medicine, using blood tests to figure out what's going on inside and reverse it. And I was like, wow. And that journey just completely shifted everything, right? So I lost weight, my health improved, and then I started offering this kind of work to other people. Money started coming in. Of course, things got a little crazy when like my ex-husband came down here, filed for a divorce, and said he wanted custody of my daughter. So that was a little hard phase. Right. But still, I figured out how I could stand up for myself, right? And I started doing things for myself, I think, for the first time in 38 years of my life. And slowly, like, you know, one day at a time, one breath at a time, I kind of built myself up. So that entire thing of being a nomad also came from there. Like, once my daughter was taken from me,
right,
I was like, you know, I don't even feel the need for a house and all of those material possessions. So I kind of just downsized to 2 bags. And the first time I checked in at an airport, it was like 29 0.8 kgs. I was like, I'm going to stick to this weight. If anything in my bags goes about this, I've taken something more than I need. So I'm going to dump whatever that extra thing is, and I'm going to maintain this 29.8 kgs in my bag.
Okay.
And then I just started wondering, because I was like, okay, I feel like I found my purpose. I feel like I'm doing what I was created for, which is helping other people heal. Mm-hmm. But if I'm really, really doing that, will the planet support me in my life, no matter where I am? If I don't have a house, will I have to sleep on the roads? Mm-hmm. If I don't have a kitchen, will I have to go hungry? And it was really that self-exploration, that connection with the universe and the spiritual aspect itself of it, that I did this, right? 2 years, no home, nothing, just wandering around.
My God.
Not a single day did I go hungry. Not a single day was I homeless. Not a single day did I ever feel very cold or very hot for lack of clothes.
Right.
Not a single day was I not taken care of, right? And the end of that journey was Rajesh coming forward and saying, hey, I'd like to invest and let's create a company. So for me, like, people talk of market validation. For me, it was like existential validation, right? Like, okay,
that is more than an existential validation, that, you know, you can get back up and build bigger, better and whatnot. Yeah. My God, that's a very touching story. Yeah. It's a very touching story. Wow. I honestly don't have any words to this, but it's very inspiring. Honestly, the one word which is there, that's very inspiring. And how you have been able to, you know, stand back up time and again, irrespective of the hurdles that you have faced. My God, that's something that someone really needs to learn from. And all my listeners, I would just say one thing, that was, if she can do it, honestly, you can also do it.
Exactly. That's why I share my story, Sarthak, because I want people, and especially women in India, they're so beaten down by this idea that, okay, and I did this at 38, 39, right?
Right.
I did it then. I'm 45 now, and I have the enthusiasm of a 20-year-old willing to kind of build their startup and like do it also. If I can do it, like, age is nothing. Gender also is nothing. That deep inside, if you have that little courage, you know, like, I'll just breathe and do this right now. That much only I want to do.
Right.
Anyone's life can be 3 times more inspiring than mine is. That's why I share my story. It's not really for like sympathy or like, oh my God, look at how awesome you are. I am awesome. I know that. But
it's that's the attitude that we need. Nice. Love
it. No, I be fake humble. Nah. I know what shit I've gone through. Like, there have been moments when I wanted to end my life. From there, I'm here, right? So I know. So I'm not a fan of this fake modesty and fake humility, but I share my story because I want other people to, like, everyone is struggling with something. That much I have learned with all these years of work I'm doing. Like, I used to think my life was this bad. I talk to people and their life sometimes is 10 times worse than what I've gone through.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And if I could do this for me, anyone can do this.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's the exact thing, guys, that, you know, I want to tell everyone of you that what Mugdha has done at the age, especially, you know, I mean, this is very inspiring to me also, Mugdha, because I'm definitely going to remember this for the better part of my life. That, you know, as we say right now, 20s mein risk low, 30 mein responsibility aati hai, risking factor goes down. But that, now that I've heard your story and everything, you know, that account mein 300 rupay hai, you have to take care of the daughter and do everything from that part. I mean, that's just bouncing back from hitting the rock bottom. So guys, if that can happen at that age, that point, with definitely a responsibility, there's a lot of things that we can definitely learn from Mugdha and be inspired to do better in life at whatever we're trying to do. So thanks a lot, Mugdha, for being so open and sharing your story.
Thanks for creating that space for me to share the story, Sarthak.
I can understand, but thanks a lot for being so open. Yeah, it really means a lot. Okay, so Mugdha, moving on. I mean, this has given us a lot of clarity, and you have already, you know, answered the question to where I would have asked you, that from where did you get into this nutrition part, and you very clearly answered that you got it from your mother and father, and eventually you got into this. And then I would say that TED Talk was, I believe TED Talk was actually a trigger to send you back in time to make you realize that boss, ye aapko innately aata hai and you should be doing this. And that was, I guess, the trigger, and then you went on the journey, and it has been going on since then. But yes, so Mugdha, one question that I would I have been wanting to ask you since we started talking today, and that would be like, what was the one realization that you have while you were on your nomad journey, which is kind of shaping the business that you're building now?
People, right? So it's the people in this world that really matter, whatever you want to do, right? So because when I was in that nomad thing, I didn't know. I would go to random locations where I had like no friends, no one I knew. Hi. And then I would have to find my way in that area, right? Like what to eat, where do I get whatever I want from? And it was always other humans.
Right.
Technology didn't come there, right? It was like human beings who really smiled back at me, who gave me the answers to my questions, who guided me to the right places.
Right.
And even this business, now this company, so for example, the first investor who came on board was from the community itself.
Right.
My lawyer, like the company's lawyer, was from the community. Our CFO, she's from the community. Our CEO was from the community. So the community has really come forward to help iThrive become better, stronger, and more resilient. Why? Because they received something of such immense value that they were not getting anywhere else, right? So when I understand that there is another human being here who's looking for help, I offer them that help. When I need help, that human comes forward and helps me, right? So it's people, connections, relationships that really is what has helped me build this business. And this is something I want to leave like your audience with also, right? Often when we speak of relationships and we speak of connections, we keep our mind only to maybe the ones that we've had from childhood or a college friends or a family. Sometimes they might not be the only ones who might help you build yourself up, right? Sometimes you will have absolute strangers who come into your life and become connections like beyond like the blood connection, right? So for me, it's humans, it's connecting with them, and it's building, like co-creating with another human is what my nomad journey taught me and has really helped this business also become big.
Wow.
Really, like,
okay, so Mugdha, with that, you know, we are at the end of the podcast. So if we have to wrap up, and I would ask my last question, asking you that, what is the one business mantra that you would like to give out? So what would that be?
One. I have so many.
Whichever you like the most, or whichever, how many you want to give, I'm open to all.
Yeah, I think the one I would want like to leave people with is understand who you are, like learn more about your true self, understand what really ignites you, what excites you, what is your purpose, and then don't give up on that, right? Because if you don't give up, if your inner world is really, really, really clear and aligned with whatever you want to create in this world, it will happen. It will. Like I am living example of insane magic and miracles happening, whether it's miracles with clients' health or my own life turning around from like 300 rupees left in my account to now running a company that's valued at $12 million. It's magic, right? Because I understood what is my intrinsic value and I refuse to give up on myself. So understand your intrinsic value and never give up on yourself. That's my mantra.
That's a beautiful mantra, guys. And I hope that, you know, you're taking a lot back from this podcast, from this episode especially. And definitely, you know, if you have to get something and if you're looking to reverse acute disease, get to Mugdha, get to the session, talk to her. I'm pretty sure that you're gonna get a lot of value. And Mugdha, it's been a very, very insightful conversation. I'm sure that if I want to talk, I'm not going to stop, but we are definitely time bound. So it's been a very, very insightful conversation. Thank you so much for pulling out the time and coming on the show. It's been a real pleasure. And I really look forward to seeing you sometime soon when I'm in Pune. And thanks again, yeah.
Thank you so much, Sarthak. Thank you for having me over. Thank you for giving me the space to share my story. Like you, I can speak about health for like 8 hours, but I know we can't do that. So thank you so much for asking me really deep, meaningful questions also, because in the end, the answers that come are based on the questions that are asked, right? So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
It was lovely, lovely talking to you.
Same here. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope that you're able to take back something insightful from this podcast and apply it in your life to be a better version of yourself and add to your Dhandhoni Soch.
If you know someone whom you think should feature on my podcast and has a very inspiring entrepreneurial journey, then do drop me a DM on my Instagram, SARTHAKVARSHNEY, Sarthak Varshney. Yeah, that's me. I'm the founder of SV Clicks, and SV Clicks is the producer of this show. You can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn as well with the same name. If you're willing to listen to more of such unheard, inspiring stories of the entrepreneurs, then don't forget to follow us by pressing that follow button on your podcast screen. Thank you for being such an amazing audience. Keep learning, keep growing. We'll be back soon. See ya.